Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Jos Day.
And we are best friends.
Coming to ABC this fall. No, just kidding.
Honestly, that was our most perfect introduction ever. I'm so
proud. I really thought so. We were so grave. There were gravitas.
Yeah, there's some weight behind our words. And panicking. Well, we have a great letter this week, Jos, so why don't you get to it while I eat a cheese stick?
Go for it. Dear ladies, I love your work. I will call myself overhauled. You've taught me a lot on my weakest subject, friendship. It scares me. I've never been very good at friendships. I just get things wrong. I'm not young, in my 50s, a successful professional, and feel embarrassed to admit my friendship clumsiness has been present since high school. Basically, I recognized in myself a bunch of annoying friend traits. I didn't get much childhood training or nurturing. My history was talking too much, oversharing my problems, gossiping about people, and yes, I used to waffle about my dramas over copious wine. Tears at time, the depresso drunk. Oh God, so embarrassed. I attracted unhealthy people for a long period in my life. To compensate for my terror traits, I formed a habit of bending over backwards to please these people. I did the calling, instigated plans, and did things like chauffeur friends around. I volunteered to help whenever I could. I would buy gifts and pay for lunch, etc. Overcompensation, chronic. I was overcompensating because deep down I knew I was draining, annoying, and self-absorbed with constant dramas. Maybe people would like me in spite of my flaws if I did all this. I was taught to do this with my family in return for love. Pretty sad, but true. So ladies, for years, I ran myself into the ground wanting to please everyone and broke down in 2015, ending up in hospital, mentally broken. This is where the self-help and professional help journey all started. I learned I did these things for people with a self-serving motive. I was desperate to be liked and I wanted. It was my payoff. I felt inadequate and believed nobody would ever like me as clumsy me. I also learned why I got these ideas. My parents were very manipulative alcoholics. They were often cruel and would tell me I was useless, but nonetheless, I hankered after them for love and wanted their approval at any level. Even their jokes about my looks and loneliness was a form of attention. How pathetic I was for years, listening to a couple of drunks, even after educating myself at university and growing into a successful adult professional. No wonder I had limited friendships. Gosh. I'm proud to say I've done heaps of work on myself. It took over 5 years with therapy and group work. I learned I suffer from severe anxiety, and this causes the nervous behaviors, like the over-talking, the poor listening and communication, and in the past, hysteria and exaggeration at times. The therapist pointed out my crappy behaviors were modeled to me in my very dysfunctional family of origin. I was advised to go easier on myself. I embraced all of this and started work on learning and change, big changes like blocking my alcoholic brother. Do we all have an alcoholic brother? I think we all do. And relieving myself of his dramas with the law, etc. He was over 50, so I cut him loose together with my addict younger sister who used me for years for money. I allowed it all to happen. So I learned to build boundaries and enforce them with the support of the therapist. I learned how to be vulnerable in conversation and tell people I want to be friends or that I miss them. I feel really proud of myself. And I actually think after 5 years of work, I may even be a quality friend now. I always meant so well previously, but now I'm not self-seeking and focused on reciprocity. I do have two lovely long-term friends who have stuck by me and gave me wonderful feedback about my changes. I've learned to accept their kind words and actually believe them. I've learned to thank them and pull back on seeking their acceptance. I listen to them and prepare questions to ask them. I remind myself about significant things in their lives. I feel proud after our get-togethers and notice the warmth and vulnerability in our talk seems to be growing. Once I couldn't do that successfully, but they simply loved me for the funny and well-meaning person I am underneath the crazy stuff. So what's troubling me? The bizarre thing is my other two longest friends, 35 years, seem to be ghosting me in the recent 2 years. One just stopped replying to texts and didn't even pick up when I made her a birthday call. Neither rang me on my birthday this year. I had major surgery 3 weeks prior to my birthday. Neither friend came near me. They said it's too far, 40 minutes away. One complained about the car park costs at hospital. Basically, both said they were too busy. One of these ladies still occasionally phones, but only to ask for favors and dump her troubles on me. For example, she is widowed and needs me to pick up her new furniture as she can't afford delivery. For the love of God. To be fair, I used to volunteer for these services for years to be helpful. I still help occasionally, but not always. These are the new boundaries in place. I've suggested other solutions to her issues, but she rejects these ideas. I've told her I've got to care for myself post-surgery, so errands need to be curbed. It's been 2 years now, no visits, and she keeps asking why I haven't dropped in as she has jobs for me.
Oh my God.
The other friend just didn't answer my last hi, how are you text. She had a get together at her house while I was in the post-operative weeks. I obviously couldn't go, but she flooded me with photos of the group party. However, no visits or even a card to me in 4 months of pretty nasty sickness. I felt so hurt and dumped and wondered what I'd done to deserve this reaction. I moved to super angry when reflected on the lovely gifts and surprise flowers I'd sent over the years. I also feel like a bit of a fool. I read up on these types of behaviors and wonder if this new boundary setting and me setting me and self-caring me isn't appealing to these old friends. I would love your advice. Do I walk away and close the book on these people? Talking to them about it terrifies me. Regards, Overhauled.
All right, Overhauled.
You are very eloquent and self-aware, and kudos to you for putting yourself back together. We totally agree with you, therapist. Give yourself a break. You were raised by horrible people in a dysfunctional household. All the mistakes that you made until that breakdown are very natural and predictable outcomes of having that kind of horrible upbringing. So forgive yourself for not knowing better. And now that you know better, you're doing better. You're doing great.
I mean, I'm so proud of you. This is hard work.
It is. To really change and to acknowledge your the reason why people pulled away from you in the past and to understand it's not just hearing the words from your therapist or being able to say the words to your therapist. It's about getting those words into your head and making a sea change in how you view yourself and others around you.
Yeah.
And I think what's happening here is what you said. Your two new friends don't know how to deal with you now that you are more functional and healthy.
They like the old you that was more about you sounded kind of like a doormat. You'd do anything for them, you know, for
as
their
long friends. As they liked you.
So that's what they like, is the old you, the old doormat.
And they're not willing to accept that you're not going to play that kind of role, especially the widow friend who seems like she only calls you. I mean, to say like, how come you haven't dropped by? I have all these jobs for you to do. So rude. My God.
That's horrible. That's the worst thing I've
ever. I mean, I have, as we were talking about in the last episode, I love to work in other people's houses, you know, organize a room, figure out your drawer space. I think I'm good at those things. I volunteer those things. Mm-hmm. And occasionally a friend will say, can you come help me pack up my kitchen or figure out how to work this closet, which is so small and weird. And I'm happy to, but they don't make that a condition of our friendship.
Right.
That's not the only reason we see each other.
Right.
If I said, no, I can't help you with the closet. But I can drink wine in your living room.
Yeah.
She would say, yeah, okay, come over.
You know? Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I think you are at this point where those friendships of very old are coming to an end. And yeah. they are dying a natural death. Mm-hmm. And it's okay. It doesn't take away from the 35 years you had with each other. It doesn't take away from the great times that you've had together. It doesn't mean that you are all bad people because you couldn't sustain this friendship. It's just that you're looking for different things in friends now. You're looking for reciprocity, respect, fun, you know, being able to talk honestly. You're not a handyman, even though you were back in the olden days. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would also suggest that when somebody does a lot of work on themselves and they really take a hard look at how they've been living and really make a conscious effort to do better by themselves and think about things and shift their narrative and take on healthier habits, it can be threatening.
Yeah.
Right. I think the friend who inundated you with party pictures but couldn't drive to see you in the hospital is maybe a little threatened.
Yeah, or couldn't even pick up the phone to give you a call to see how you were doing.
Yeah.
I mean, didn't even drive, right?
And then when she sends you these pictures of her fabulous party, she's saying, look what I can do.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you might be recovering from surgery and trying to, you know, live a lifestyle that's more healthy and mentally healthy and you know, sort of reclaiming your life. But I'm having a party and you're not there.
Right.
You know,
it seems a little bit of a punishment also, as if to say, look what you're missing. And then the expectation is that you would bend over backwards to like fix things and make her like you again because you missed her party.
Right. And yeah, exactly what Jess said. It is a punishment. It might be, if we're going to give her the huge benefit of the doubt, that she didn't want you to feel left out. But do you remember Henry, my cousin? Look at him, you know. Okay. I doubt it, but I'm cynical. I think that you don't have to be terrified of talking to them. And indeed, you don't have to talk to them at all.
Agree. Agree.
You know, your behavior can say it for you. So when the widow calls and said, hey, you know, my garage needs cleaning, where are you? You can say, hi, great to hear from you. I'm sorry, I'm busy this weekend. And you just keep saying that.
Yeah.
If you have a conversation in which you say, look, I used to do all these things to compensate for what I thought was my horrible personality and the burden of being my friend. I don't feel that way about myself anymore. So I don't need to give you these favors to make it worth spending time with me. If you can't accept that, then that's fine. She will be defensive.
Yes.
I guarantee it. She'll say, what are you talking about? I thought we were friends. This is what we friends do for each other. Why are you being so spiteful? You know, we've had all these years together. I think you should just keep deflecting her requests.
Right.
And also say, you know, if you'd like to have lunch, I can pop down 3 weeks from now, or maybe we can meet halfway between. Mm-hmm. And I guarantee you, you will find that she is too busy for that. Can't do that, too broke for that, and that she really only wants you to be her handyman.
Yeah, I would also not fall into the trap of getting into a kind of tit for tat argument with her.
It never works.
It's never going to work. She's always going to be defensive. She's always going to feel like she's in the right and you are in the wrong because you used to do all this stuff for her before. And I do think, to be honest with you, they were in the process of ghosting you and you could just let that process continue.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to pick up the phone to call, to check in with people.
Right.
And I just said, I doubt you'll hear from them.
Yeah, I agree. I doubt you'll hear from them. You know, you can text on your birthday if you want on their birthdays and say happy birthday. That costs you nothing. It's two words. Mm-hmm. You don't have to send a gift card, make a phone call. You can just say, I remembered it was your birthday. Happy birthday. You know, but I think that 35 years of the old you, mm-hmm. and then this incredible change that you've brought into your life, and this new self-awareness is threatening to them. They don't necessarily want the new you. Mm-hmm. They're used to this old you, and I think you're going to have to let them go.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean you have to break up dramatically or slam down a phone. Not that we can do that anymore. So satisfying.
I know, that really
we was. Old people who remember landlines yeah. really missed slamming down that phone.
Yes.
So unsatisfying to push a button. And I know. A gentle sound, beep, beep. So yeah. friendly and nice. No, I want something angry.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be dramatic. You know, you don't have to scream at each other in the street or the restaurant. These are not your true friends. You have two other friends who, whom you mentioned, who are, you're really working on that quality friendship. And yeah. you're in your 50s, and so are Joss and I. There's plenty of new friends to be made.
Sure. Absolutely.
You
know,
put yourself in some of the situations where you can make new friends, you know, people join group activities for that express reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no one joins a hiking club because they want to hike alone.
Right.
You know, right. And, you know, maybe go to yoga classes because, again, if you didn't want to be with other people, then you'd be doing yoga home in front of the TV, you know. Right. So put yourself in situations where you might meet some more people. And keep those really good lessons of listening and kind of curating what you say. Mm-hmm. You don't have to reveal your whole past on the first date. And mm-hmm. we think that's a big mistake. Mm-hmm. It really takes so much pride in what you've done and where you've come from. The odds were not in your favor.
Yeah.
And you now.
Yeah. I mean, it's really hard work. It's incredible work. It's hard to be that self-aware of your faults. It's hard to look at that and say, okay, I'm going to fix it. Because often our instinct is to say, well, that wasn't my fault because, right?
Right.
And then carry on with your life. But you were like, you took some ownership of that and you did have a breakdown and maybe it turned out to be a good thing because you ended up in therapy and you ended up really healing yourself from all
of that. Yeah. I think it was that, or you were going to kill your liver and end up in a hospital.
Absolutely.
So you swerved in the right direction and you got help and thank goodness for that. So, you know, friends are people who make you feel better after having spent time with them. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's the definition, I would say.
Yes. And it's hard work to be around them either.
And it shouldn't. You know, it shouldn't make you feel guilty or drained or uninteresting. So these women are not treating you like friends, and therefore you are no longer friends. You know, the friendship is over. It just hasn't been called. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to officially call it. You can just do that slow fade that we talk about in our book.
Yeah.
Where you just, you know, become less and less available and less eager for their company.
Yeah. And I mean, again, they appear to be starting the slow fade. So just let it continue.
Yeah.
Let it continue.
And as for the widow, every time she texts or calls and says, I need you to do this and that, and I'm poor and I'm alone, you just say, gosh, that sounds really hard. I'm sorry. I can't help out.
Right.
Boink, period. End of conversation.
And you're done. Yeah, absolutely.
We are so happy to hear from you. You are on a great path. And I think the next decade will probably be the happiest decade of your life.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
Take care. Thanks for listening. Send your letters to theladies@crappyfriends.net and please consider leaving us a review.
Crappy Friends is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.
I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Just A.
And we're best friends. Forever.